You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 392. Randall's here. Randall, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
All right, we had Irish Invasion over the weekend, and just lots of small stories here and there to get through, including some that broke earlier in the week last week, but after we had recorded some transfer news, and we'll talk about that as well. But I think we'll start, or go ahead.
Well, I'll just throw this in there right away. It's been a good week because maybe we did what Lou Holtz wants us to. We were up at Notre Dame, was it Thursday night? But this weekend he was at Irish Invasion, and he had a good quote. He told the recruit, he said, or at some point he told recruits, I'm not sure if it was this weekend or if it was before, but he said, you want to be happy for a day, win the lottery. You want to be happy for a lifetime, make good choices, and get your ass to Notre Dame. So we did go up to Notre Dame on Thursday night, so maybe that's what made it such a great weekend.
We're able to take in the glorious fantasy camp that Notre Dame puts on.
Yeah.
There's a little sarcasm there.
Well, it was cool. I mean, I actually enjoyed just being there, looking at the state, just walking around, just seeing, the players are there, the coaches are there, just being part of Notre Dame. But if you do get a chance to do the fantasy football thing for a week, you can. It's mostly older guys, so they're the only ones that can afford it is the issue. So maybe if they make it a little bit cheaper, we could get younger guys there and we could have more of a game.
We'll leave it at that. So let's talk about Irish Invasion.
Yeah, there's obviously a good weekend for Notre Dame. Not as many highly ranked guys as what they'd hoped for. So far, this Monday night, nobody has committed up to this point. There was talk that maybe a couple guys would on the visit or soon after, but at this point they haven't. But last year it was the week following that is when the guys all committed. It seemed like they went home, thought it over, and made their decision, which is a good thing. So who knows? This whole week there's a chance that, some of these guys that were there that somebody could commit, but at this point nobody has. There were a couple offers that went out. Probably the biggest one, maybe the most surprising, is a guy from Mishawaka, Indiana. Lives a couple minutes from Notre Dame, Paul Moala. He's a 3-star safety, 6'1", 190, and he goes to Penn High School. And he impressed everybody there. I think he ran like a 4.4, which was just the coach's time unit. It wasn't anything official, but he impressed enough that the coaches gave him an offer while he was there. And then another guy that did was Will Craig, 4-star lineman, offensive lineman, 6'5", 265 from Granite Bay, California. So with all the news on the all the stuff that's been happening with the current offensive line players in the last week, they did add another offer to the list. But yeah, that's about that. I'm not going to say too much more about Irish Invasion. We're working something out as far as having one of the recruits that was at Irish Invasion, having him join the podcast, and maybe he can share with us how that experience was and kind of get his perspective on the whole thing, whole weekend.
Solon did write an article over on the website, his thoughts, and specifically looking at some guys who might commit sooner than later, some guys that are leaning Irish. So head on over there, irishsportstalk.net. We also tweeted it out. It's on Facebook, too.
Going back to the fantasy football game Thursday night, this may sound, maybe if you listen to ISD's podcast, it sounds like I'm copying Matt Freeman, but we were with Matt Freeman, and there was a recruit, an unexpected visitor there that evening, and Channing Tindall was named 4-star outside linebacker from South Carolina. And that was kind of a surprise. Nobody knew he was going to be there. And all the coaches were coming over. Everybody was talking to him. So he was a high priority.
Yeah, it was like flies to honey.
So each one of the assistant coaches was there talking to him, and then they also had a Ryan Harris, who was there for the game, was one of the
he called the game.
Was that part with him and
Jack Nolan?
Jack Nolan called the game, so that was kind of interesting. Which we didn't stay for the whole game; we just stayed for, or is it even the first quarter?
I think we made it,
but
I thought it was through the first half. Maybe it was the first quarter.
Okay, Ryan Harris was there flashing his Broncos Super Bowl ring, and then Jerome Bettis was there as well. I didn't see him. Actually, no, he was talking to him later. I did see him talking to him. So they were doing what they could to make sure he was welcome there. So he was there on a visit. And earlier, right when we got there, they were taking team pictures, and all the assistant coaches were supposed to be in the picture. And Mike Elko was last. Everybody was waiting on him. Then he came out there, and everybody was saying stuff. And then he was like, hey, somebody's got to do the recruiting. And then after that is when he came out. And so that's probably who he was talking with, spending time with him, which is a good thing because it shows he's trying to keep up with Brian Polian. Right now it seems he's the number one recruiter on the team or on the staff.
Yeah, I mean, he's a special teams coordinator, but he definitely seems very invested in Notre Dame and seems to be working really hard and making an impact.
Yeah, so I don't know where Notre Dame stands with Tindall, but obviously, it was a big deal having him there. He's a big-time player. So,
did you even mention that about his size and position? Did you?
Yeah, here, I got it right here. He's an outside linebacker, 6'2", 213, from Columbia, South Carolina. Crystal Ball has him at 100% South Carolina. There was somebody with him who looked like his dad. I don't know for sure, but like they say, it's what you need to do is get the guys on campus.
Yeah.
So they had him on campus, and he was obviously very welcomed by the team and the coaching staff. So it was kind of interesting just to see that firsthand, the coaches and the players interacting with him. The other two guys, there was two more offers that had gone out earlier in the week. I just throw those out there. Chigozie Anousim. He was a three-star cornerback from La Habra, California, 6'2", 171. And then another one was Chris Mitchell, three-star safety, 6 foot, 190. And he's from Mission Viejo.
Viejo, I think.
We might have to take a language class just to pronounce all these. But that is where Max Redfield would have gone to high school. So maybe some connection there. And I'm not sure how they want Max Redfield talking to him or not, but
I'm guessing not.
But anyways, those are some of the offers that have gone out. But then to finish out the recruiting part, Notre Dame did get a commitment last Tuesday. Jamian Franklin, defensive tackle. It was expected that he would commit to Notre Dame, but he confirmed that on Tuesday. And he picked Notre Dame over Virginia Tech, Duke, and Wisconsin. He is 6'1", 315, and definitely like a nose tackle, interior lineman. And he's currently a three-star, but I think he's going to jump up the ranking. A lot of people think he's going to jump up the ranking. He's been invited to the opening out in Oregon, and I guess we can see how he does with that. But that was commitment number 12 for Notre Dame, and they needed an inside interior guy like him.
Okay, and like Randall mentioned, later this week we might have an interview coming up for you guys too. So you want to move on now and talk about transfers? Are you ready for that, Randall?
Yeah.
So let's start with some of the guys that are going out. So last week we talked about Tristan Hodge.
Yeah.
And then a few days later, maybe even a day later, Parker Boudreau announced that he would also be leaving. And he tweeted this out. I'd like to thank Notre Dame for giving me the opportunity to play for them out of high school. My transfer has nothing to do with playing time or the university. I've met some extraordinary people throughout my time at Notre Dame. Looking forward to the next chapter. And this came as a surprise to both of us, and I think a lot of Notre Dame fans, because it looked like the door was opening up for Parker to get onto the field, but playing time does not appear at all to be the reason why he is transferring. Irish Sports Daily had an article about potentially some health reasons that he might be leaving, saying that a warmer climate would suit him better. Something with he has had sinus surgery in the past, and a warmer climate would likely help with that.
And do you remember, I mean, he did have visits to the hospital. I mean, remember that one time that was in fall camp. You know, it's not like that he's leaving on bad terms. I mean, he's doing it for, he wants to keep playing football, and he obviously has a better opportunity somewhere else. So he did visit, the next day he tweeted out that he visited or was going to visit UCF. Central Florida. So I'm not sure what all his plans are. As Ruben's biggest thing was that now he won't be able to have some of his dad's gumbo.
Justin Bedroy had promised some gumbo, and so now I won't get to have any of that.
I haven't talked to him since this happened, but I have a feeling that they'll be back up here to Notre Dame for it. The way this is happening, I don't think they have any bad feelings for Notre Dame. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to stay there, but I could see them coming back for a game, maybe down the future. Maybe when you're in Florida sometime, you can call him up, see if you have
stop can
have
in some for an gumbo. Unexpected visit.
I guess the biggest thing, and we talked about Tristan Hodge last week on the podcast. They hadn't announced it yet, but Tristan Hodge did transfer to BYU, and he would have 3 years of eligibility left because he did play in six games for Notre Dame last year. And so he does have playing time left. He'd obviously have to wait for a year. But he is going to BYU. And the biggest question, the biggest thing to look at now is the back. Who's going to be the backup center for Notre Dame? Because these were the two guys that were looked at as the backups to Sam Mustafa. So, you know, okay, there's one thing, Tristan Hodge left. Well, then he said, well, you got Parker Boudreau that could take his place. Well, now he's gone. So that's going to be something that Notre Dame has to figure out and find a guy that's ready, because at this point it would be a bad thing if anything happened to Sam Mustafa, which last year obviously the backups weren't quite ready because Sam Mustafa made some pretty critical mistakes and he stayed out on the field. So, you know, maybe the staff doesn't look at it. I mean, I don't know how they look at it, but maybe it's not such a big deal to them because they might not have had this backup they wanted last year either that was ready to play.
Yeah, it's true.
But that is definitely a concern. It seemed like this could be the offensive line be one of the strengths of the team, but now it looks like young guys are going to have to play, and even in a year from now, they're not going to have upperclassmen ready to step in. You know, they lose two of them. And you also lost Colin McGovern earlier this year, which he had planned to transfer to Virginia. And just this last week, there was rumors that he's not going to enroll at Virginia. And so people thought, well, maybe he will stay at Notre Dame with these transfers, with Hodge and Boudreau transferring away from Notre Dame. But Brian Kelly did say that he's not coming back to Notre Dame. So I don't know. We'll have to see if this offensive line, will it be a strength? I mean, their starting lineup is there, but then how are the backups going to do? So you got some young guys, but there's not a lot of experience back there. So that's about it for transfers going out.
Outgoing transfers.
So now we'll get to the good news.
All right, so incoming transfers, two of them. A safety and a wide receiver. Let's start with the wide receiver from Arizona State. Cameron Smith chose or decided to come to Notre Dame. He would be a graduate transfer, so he will be able to play this upcoming season. I don't really expect a whole lot out of him, to be honest. It's not that I think that the wide receivers are super, super... I don't think the wide receivers in general, we're super, super deep, but with playing more two tight end sets or maybe two running back sets, I don't think there are going to be as many wide receiver snaps to go around. And so Yeah, I'm glad that he's here. Just not sure how much he's going to contribute, because I do think that there definitely is more talent. Like, there's a lot more talent ahead of him.
Well, here's the thing. He was actually at the game. We did see him Thursday night at Notre Dame, so he is already at Notre Dame. And he would have been, I'm sure he picked Notre Dame because of Del Alexander,
mm-hmm.
his wide receiver coach at Arizona State. He makes more sense than having Freddie Canteen transfer to Notre Dame. Freddie Canteen doesn't have any stats to back it up. But Cameron Smith, as a freshman at Arizona State, he had 8 receptions for 129 yards. His sophomore season, he really stepped it up. He had 41 receptions, 596 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And then his junior season, they treated as a redshirt because he didn't play at all due to injuries. And then his senior season, he had 11 receptions for 183 yards. So, you know, his first 2 years, it looked like he was really going to go somewhere. And he actually played against Notre Dame twice. So, I don't know. The first time he played was in the 2013 Shamrock Series game when Notre Dame did win that game. He had 2 receptions for 18 yards. And then, I didn't really want to mention it, but the other game that Notre Dame played against Arizona State, he had 4 receptions for 67 yards and a touchdown. And that was in Notre Dame's horrible loss a couple years ago. But before his injuries, he supposedly ran a 4.440. And, you know, if you watch his highlights from before then, he was outrunning cornerbacks. I mean, he had the speed. So I don't know if he has that speed again, if he's back to that point since his injuries. And supposedly he has suffered some injuries in spring camp. Like, he didn't participate in Arizona State's spring camp. And they said it was because of some injuries, but maybe this was all in the works. So I don't know. But one of their sites did say that it was because of injuries. So this, to me, makes more sense than adding Freddie Canteen.
Yeah, I do agree with you there.
He has some experience. So, I mean, he has almost 1,000 yards receiving in college. So that makes more sense to me. But he did go to the same high school as Cam McDaniel. Cam tweeted out and had some on Instagram about another Cam from Texas, from Copal, Texas, going to Notre Dame. So there's that.
So another transfer that I'm more excited about, and you probably won't hear in modern days, you probably won't hear a whole lot of transfers coming from Navy. However, here is a safety from Navy, Alohai Gilman. I know I screwed
up. It sounded good. He sounded very Hawaiian.
Hammered his first name. But he was a freshman last year. And was second on the team with tackles, including he had 12 versus Notre Dame. another game that we'd like to forget.
Hey, at least we're getting these guys that play great against Notre Dame.
But
they probably think that, hey, I had a great game against them. I can come in and get some playing time.
Probably. You're probably right. So there is some debate as far as Will, because we played last year, he was a freshman. Normally, you wouldn't be allowed to play your following year if you transfer. You have to sit out 1 year unless you're a graduate transfer. However.
Well, I talked with... let me bring up my phone. There it goes. Michael James from Navy Bird Dog. We've had him on the podcast before. Works for a site that covers Navy. And even before he committed, I was talking with him about Gilman. And... Gilman thinks that he can play in the NFL. And he's even hearing that from his dad. His dad has actually been shopping him around, basically trying to find another school. Is this another
LeVar Ball type?
I haven't heard his name. Obviously
not to that level.
We hope not.
I don't even know. I just...
But
there seem to be some very, very slight similarities.
Yeah, and... He has other people telling him that he can make it to the NFL. He has an uncle that runs a camp for defensive backs in Hawaii, and so they're telling him that. And so that's what he's thinking, NFL. And Navy just passed some new rule there for Navy. They can't – the players aren't eligible for the NFL directly out of college. And so
– they have to sit out 1 year – or they have to wait 1 year.
I think it's a year. But I – or is it one – I'm not exactly sure on the time. But they,
either way, they can't straight from finishing up at Navy, they can't go directly to the NFL.
Yeah. It was a Keenan Reynolds that did like a year or two ago. He went directly. That was before they enforced this rule. So what he's applying for is that he went to Navy and they've enforced this since he's there.
He went to Navy because he knew that would be the best shot at getting to the NFL. This is what kind of surprises me and makes me pushed on the brakes a little bit, is that if he is an NFL caliber defensive back, then why did he choose to go to Navy? Why didn't?
And maybe, that's where he had an offer for.
Well, okay, clearly, but I'm saying why weren't these other? It's just surprising that other schools weren't interested.
Well, they must have convinced him that it's more than just football, you know. And he's got, you know, going to Navy, you know, he can always join the Navy out of college, you know, if football doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Just like Notre Dame tries to sell the 4 for $40. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that all went, but he's as good as he did as a freshman, being this team's second leading tackler, and looks like he was going to be a star there.
Yeah,
and his dad is trying to find another school. His dad obviously wants him to go to the NFL. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to see if he could be eligible. Right now, he's not going to play this next season.
And in the statement that Notre Dame released over on UND.com, they did say, let me just find it here, Gilman will be eligible to play for the Fighting Irish starting with the 2018 season. So that's how they're laying it out. But they are trying to
petition.
See if there's another option here to play the 2017 season.
Yeah, he does have some connections with Notre Dame. It was kind of surprised, you know, that he was also visiting Notre Dame last week. He went to the same high school as Kona Schwenke, and he lived in the same town as Manti Te'o and Robbie Toma. And in the off season, he actually worked out with Robbie Toma. And I guess Manti Te'o hung out with his older siblings, not with him necessarily, but was friends with his older siblings.
Do you know, is there any kind of time frame when the NCAA will say no or yes?
Since it's Notre Dame, it'll be after the season.
Yeah, exactly. It'll get dragged out until December.
Yeah. If this was Alabama, he'd be eligible to play next week. Anyways, he is 1 year older than most guys in grade. He went to the Naval Academy prep school. So he is a sophomore, but he's a year older than all the other sophomores. So technically, he was a redshirt freshman.
My gut feeling on this is that there's no way he plays in 2017.
I honestly don't know. At first, I was like, no, he's not going to. It's just Notre Dame fans getting excited about it because he would be their most experienced safety. And we could definitely use him on the field. But at this point, it doesn't look. You might as well expect him not to play this upcoming season and be very get a good surprise.
Yeah,
but he has a lot of experience. This is a big pickup for Notre Dame. So the way he plays, he's very aggressive, and he can take out Josh Adams as he did in the Navy game. This is one of the better transfers they've gotten.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you.
So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
But this was definitely the week of transferring out. There was a lot of
moving parts for sure.
Yeah.
This is from a few days ago, almost a week ago. Notre Dame made ESPN stats and info. And like I said, this is from a few days ago, almost a week ago. 88 days until college football kickoff, and they had a little artwork done for Notre Dame, and it's about the 1988 national championship season.
Nice.
So just thinking back of when times were great, here's some history for you. The Irish finished 12-0, and they had 10 wins by double digits, and their scoring margin was nearly 20 points per game. They outscored teams 393 to 156 for a 19.8 margin of victory. So,
yeah, in 2012 they did go 12-0, but their
the margin of victory, I'd have to look it up. Not sure what it was, but
well, and yes, Ruben and I are not old enough to remember the 88 season, which you were born in 88, right?
I was born in 88. Yeah.
I was 2 years old, so I don't remember much of the championship season.
So that's all I've got, just some random.
Well, here's just some another random thing. On Saturday, the team played was it softball or is it baseball? I don't even know.
It was softball.
Softball against the it was Notre Dame football versus law enforcement. So which law enforcement included security from campus and I'm not sure who all, but they played softball at Four Winds Field, which is where the South Bend Cubs play. And, yeah, the Notre Dame football players ended up winning that game. So it actually been kind of interesting to see because I don't think – there are some of them that are obviously baseball players would be good at it. But then others – it's just good to see they're obviously like insanely athletic, good football players. But to see them playing a sport –
which is softball, too, not baseball. Baseball would be a little tougher.
But I'm just saying, even when they go golfing, I like to see that sometimes because it gives them a little perspective of how some of us would be on the football field. So.
Just hearing about that, about the Notre Dame versus law enforcement softball game and the football players being at the fantasy camp.
Oh, yeah.
It just made me realize that these guys have a very busy schedule. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it than
they're required to do this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Obviously school and the football stuff, but there's a lot of other stuff that I don't know if they're required to, but definitely they get some merit points when they do participate in some of these other events. I'm guessing most of it's mandatory.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have anything else, Randall. Anything more from you?
I think that's it.
Okay, thank you guys for listening. And if you enjoy this podcast, share it with a friend. Thank you for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.